Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
If you would, go to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And I know we don't go there often, but, you know, it's like fourth from the last book of the Bible. So you found Malachi, I think it's Zechariah, Zephaniah, and then Habakkuk. And I want to talk to you tonight about this, when the manifestation tarries. Now, I'd like to tell you that everything we ask, we're believing for, and all comes to pass overnight, but you've already learned that's not so. But I also want to say this, don't build in yourself the ideology that you have to wait all the time. But be prepared in case you do. Now, the word manifestation, you know, the Bible talks about the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Well, the word manifestation, it's just real simple. It means make visible. In other words, you actually see something. You see something from the Spirit. And you know what? We know we have things by the Word, but how many know we want to see them? Right. Am I the only one? How many want to see it? I just don't want to know I have healing. I want to see it. I don't want to just know that I have my needs met and I have financial prosperity. I want to see it. I don't want to just know. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a legal side and a vital side to redemption. Legal side is what you legally own, but vital is what you possess. And you can have all the legal side you possibly have and not do you any good. Matter of fact, everybody that's in Christ has all the legal side, but it doesn't do you any good unless it's vitally yours operating in your life. And so that doesn't always everything come to pass overnight. There are some things that just won't come to pass overnight because you got to grow into it. There are some people that, you know, they're not mature enough to have a lot of money. Why is it so quiet? I didn't name any names. Listen, you have to be the place where money doesn't have you. And you can think money doesn't have you, but how you know it unless you have some money? You'd be so poor, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what money would do to you. But, you know, there's a lot of people that would get out of the will of God if they had enough money to do it. And therefore, they're not candidates because their soul's not prospering. You have to be where money doesn't change you. Doesn't change who you are. Doesn't change what you do. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you know, there's people get out of the ministry. You know, there's people that in the ministry that have gotten blessed and gotten wealthy, and then they got out of the will of God because they had enough money to do it and crashed and wrecked their lives. And you don't hear about them in ministry now. You don't hear about them. If you've been around for 40-some years like I have, there's people that's come and gone. And all the stories aren't good. Some of them are bad. And it's just a shame it didn't have to happen. But, you know, they got blessed enough that, you know, they got in trouble. Whether they just schemed to get it or whatever, but they got it and they got in trouble. But God wants us blessed, amen? Yes. But I want to talk to you about what, just a little bit here now, about what, when the manifestation tarries. Now, if you found this, go to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I want to read four verses there. And verse 1, I'm reading out of the Old King James Bible because I like the Old King James, not because I think it's the most holy Bible. I think it's a good translation, but, you know, and there's a lot of Old English in there, but I just like it. That's what I grew up on spiritually, and so it kind of sticks with me. That's what I think when I think, you know, the scriptures. But verse 1, because I'm just saying this because yours might read a little bit different. We're going to arrive at the same place. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved or I'm corrected. How many know sometimes we need some correction? How do you know you need correction? You're breathing. You know, it's like that guy from Chick-fil-A. Was the guy that founded Chick-fil-A? Kathy, that's one of the things he said. He said, how do you know if someone needs encouragement? They're breathing. Nobody ever gets too much encouragement. I've never had anybody say, man, I'm just too encouraged. Leave me alone today. How many know that doesn't happen? How many know we're always going to need correction because, you know, we want to grow, right? I mean, when you leave this church tonight, you're going to make several corrections to get back where you're going. You have to make turns and Amen. You can't just drive straight and get there. You're going to have to make some corrections with that wheel and your vehicle. And so there's going to be correction along the way. And that's a good thing. How many know that? Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke them. And so it's not a bad thing. And the Lord, verse 2, answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain. How many know you need to know plainly what the Lord said? Right? Remember that? We talked about this some time ago. When the Israelites came into the promised land, Caleb said to Joshua, you remember what the Lord said to you and me back in Kadesh Barnea? That was 45 years ago, but he still remembered what the Lord said. I mean, you need to know what the Lord said, not what some church said. Amen. What the Lord said. And he said, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. See, you need to make it plain. In other words, there's things in the Bible that are plainly spelled out that is God's will for our life. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. So it may tarry, right? Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now what it's saying is it's not going to tarry forever. It will eventually come. All right? The vision's for, but at the end, it'll speak and not lie. How many know, till it speaks, you need to speak it. Right. It's going to speak when it gets there, but till then, you need to be speaking it. You need to be holding fast your confession of faith. You need to speak it. When it gets there, it'll speak for itself. But you got to make it plain. Amen. Now, verse 4 is what I want to get to now. He says, behold his soul which is lifted up in him. Behold his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, the just shall live. And there it says, by his faith. Right? So what do we do when the manifestation tarries? We continue to live by faith. We continue to live by faith. You know, people don't get discouraged ultimately because of trials. You may think that, but they don't. What happens is they lose their vision and quit walking by faith. Amen. Because, you know, some people go through trials and don't get discouraged. Some people go through trials and get discouraged. I mean, the Bible is the King James says, without a vision, people perish. So it isn't the trial that really discourages you, although it seems like it. The problem is you've lost your vision, and that's where you've lost your vision. You quit walking by faith. Does that make sense to you? See, listen. If trials was what discouraged us, the devil could keep everybody discouraged because we all face trials, right? Didn't Jesus say, in the world, you shall have tribulation? How many wish he hadn't said that? But how many just told us the truth, right? But see, you can't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer, be happy because I've overcome the world. In other words, we got to get this. This just sunk into me just recently. I mean, a few weeks back. He overcame everything in the world. Everything. Everything the world has to offer, he overcame it. Amen. And the Bible tells us this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I like the Message Bible there. It says, faith is the conquering power that brings the world to its knees. Come on now. See, our faith is the conquering power that brings the world to its knees. So if you don't give up on your faith, your faith will always rise to the level of your vision. The reason your faith is weak sometimes is because we've allowed the light to get put out. See? Amen. And we don't have the vision. That's why we got to keep it plain before us. You know, if you're fighting something, you got to keep what the Bible says before you. You got to keep it plain. You got to read it. You got to talk it. Because if you don't, something else is going to talk to you. If you don't talk to the mountain will talk to you. You got to talk to it. Amen. These principles we've taught for years, they worketh. But you got to work them. Right? And faith that's alive does some things. It works. And so, you know, So we have to go back to this. When the manifestation tarries, we got to continue walking by faith. You say, well, that's real simple. I know it is, but that's where most of it is missed, is simply because people let go of the simplicity of the Word. The Word's not hard. How many know that? You don't have to have a... Listen, I know people go to Bible school and so forth. I'm not knocking that. A lot of people need to go to Bible school and so forth and all that. That's good. But listen, that doesn't guarantee you know anything about the Bible. Amen. One man went to 4 years of Bible school. When he got done, he came to this ministry. He said, I've been to Bible school for 4 years. I don't know any more about the will of God than I did before I went. Because you learned a lot of things about the history of the Bible. But how many know you need to? I don't need to know what year Job went through his trial. I need to know how he got out of it. I'm not really, that's all interesting. And I like to study facts. Don't misunderstand me, and I do. But that doesn't help me. It doesn't help me to know when the Byzantine Empire fell. I want to know why it fell. Right? Amen. It doesn't help me to know what year Job went through his trial. You know, I study stuff like that because I find it interesting, but I really, it's not helping me any. What helps me is to know how Job got out of it. Right. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? So faith is what you got to keep walking by when the manifestation tarries. Because sometimes it will tarry, sometimes, you know, it may tarry quite a while. Now look at Daniel. I want to show you some things. I want to look at a few scriptures here tonight if we have time. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10 because it's important that we understand that God isn't the problem. He's not just up there seeing just how long you can hold on, trying to get you to sweat BBs. He's not doing that. But there is we do have an opponent. We do have an enemy. How many know that? Yeah. And there are certain things, depending on what it is, what you're believing for, certain times there is timing. God has to work some things out. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. You know, a minister that I know of, well, he's been here to preach, but he needed an airplane for his ministry because he was traveling all the time. He didn't pastor, but he traveled all the time. One year, he asked his secretary, can you figure out how many days I spent in the airport this year? She told him, you spent 150 days in the airport this year, 150. I mean, that's too much, right? You got to redeem the time because the days are evil, right? So he was, you know, so he's talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, you need an airplane because you know how many Delta doesn't go everywhere.
That's right.
They don't always get your bags there,
yeah. Right?
They don't always go there on time. Amen. And so when you have your own plane, if you need it, you know, you can just fly right into any city. You know, I don't remember what it is now, but there's like, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 airports that the airlines fly to, but there's over 30-some thousand that you can fly to privately. So obviously, you're going to go a lot more places. Yeah. I mean, there's airports in these little bitty burgs, man. I mean, I used to go preach at Carmi all the time. There's an airport over there. Yeah. You can fly into Carmi. I never did because I can drive. But you know what I'm saying? I'm just making a point that he started believing God for that airplane, you know, because he felt like the Lord wanted him to do it. It's just something. It's a tool. I mean, you know, a pastor needs a building, right? Church needs a building. Traveling ministry, if he travels like that all the time, probably going to need an airplane, right? Maybe not. This depends on what his traveling is. But this guy, he needed one. When he came to preach for us, he flew in here in his airplane. And so he needed one because he goes to all these places. And he's believing God for an airplane. And the Lord, and it's not coming in. And so he talks to God about it. And the Lord said, well, I've been working on it. I've talked to 100 people to help you. And none of them's done it. He said, but stick with it. I'll get it to you. And he did. So how many knows there's some things God's got to work on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right? How many ever been disobedient? Everybody but James? That's because he's married to Mona. He can't be. You know, I remember one time the Lord was dealing with me. He said, I want you to bless this couple with a certain amount of money. It was a larger amount for me. And so he said, I want you to give this to them. And so I took about a week or two to investigate to see if maybe they needed it. Because I'm thinking, maybe they don't need it. How many know they waited for a week or two? I don't remember what it was. Phyllis might remember. It might have been a week. But they waited that time because I'm playing Holy Spirit. Right? So God's working on some things, right? He spoke to me to help this couple. I didn't know that they had any needs. How many know God, you don't have to find that out. If God tells you to do it, you just do it. Yeah. Right? There's people in the, you know, there's people that doesn't need money that God may have you bless because he just wants to bless them. Right? He wants them to sense his presence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm thinking? God could speak to you to give President Trump $50. How many know President Trump probably doesn't need $50? But if God spoke to you to do it, how many know he's got a reason behind it? I've had God tell me to give. One time the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to give. It was a teenage boy. This was back a number of years ago. He said, I want you to give him, now listen to this, $78. That's an odd number. Couldn't God round it up or something? But he said $78. So I give the kid $78. All right. You know how teenagers are. They're cool. They don't cry. They don't, oh, thank you, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so he's just being cool, and I give it to him, you know. I don't know anything about it. I just did what God told me to do. I heard this in my spirit. Give him $78. I gave it to him. Well, about, I don't know, I'm going to say it was 15 years later, I was preaching for a pastor in another city. And after the service is over, this lady comes up to me and says, do you remember me? I said, well, you know, honestly, no, I don't. She says, do you remember my son, Glenn? She told me who she was. She said, you remember my son, Glenn? I said, oh, yeah, I remember him. Yes, he was the teenager that I gave the $78 to. She said, do you remember giving him $78? I said, yeah, I remember that now. She said, do you know what that was for? I said, I have no idea. She said, he wanted a class ring. We didn't have the money to buy it for him, and it was $78. I found out God cares about class rings. I never had a class ring. I never went to the prom. I didn't care. Philistine dances don't entice me. But this kid wanted it. Y'all follow me? So God just saw to it that he got it. Tell me my father doesn't care. He cares. Amen. So here in Daniel, go here, Daniel chapter 10. Look at this, verse number 12. And this is the angel Gabriel. He's speaking to Daniel, and he said, then said he unto me, Daniel 10:12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand, to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I'm come for your words. Now notice, he said, I heard you, God heard you the first day, and I was sent the first day. So God's not messing around, is he? I said, is he? Listen to this, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Now, one thing we know by this, this was not an earthly prince. There's no earthly prince going to stop an angel, withstand an angel. This is a spiritual prince, a principality. But the prince of the king, you know, there's princes over certain countries at times. I mean, follow what I'm saying? Demonic things. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So what is he saying? He says, well, Daniel, he said, the first day you prayed, I was sent. Well, your words were heard, I was sent. But we ran into some difficulty, and I was fighting with the prince of Persia. And then Michael came and helped me. Michael's one of the chief princes. And when he shows up, the deal's over with, and here I am. So what I'm showing you is this. When you pray for something, what you see in the physical realm doesn't always reflect what's going on in the spiritual realm. Did y'all get that? See, you may not see any movement in the natural realm, but it doesn't mean there's not movement in the spiritual realm. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Oh, wait a minute now. I know that's Old Testament, but think about this. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered me. Didn't he say that? He didn't say he stopped him. He said he hindered him. All right? So if he could hinder the Apostle Paul, how many think he could probably hinder people today? The Bible calls him our adversary. What's an adversary? What's an, let's say it this way, opponent. What's an opponent? Opponent is out there arrayed against you. Right? They're trying, you know, if it's sports, they're trying to keep you from scoring, right? They're trying to score more points than you. All right, so if the devil hindered Paul, well, he could theoretically slow things down today, but you got to stay in faith. Amen. I mean, Daniel didn't give up here, did he? No, he was still waiting. 21 days later, he's still waiting. He's waiting for the answer, and it came. So we have to understand, you know, there's just things we got to understand that it's not God who's slow, but the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. So we're in a wrestling match, aren't we? Doesn't the Bible say that? Now, we're winners. How many know that? God always makes us triumph in Christ. So we always win. But if he could hinder Paul, how many know he could probably hinder us and slow things down? But we just got to, the manifestation is going to come. How many know that? A pastor, he said, I don't know if it was somebody in his church, I can't remember now, but he said this man and his young son, he had a young son, and they were believing God for something. You don't know if you remember what that was about. Do you remember? Can't remember. Okay. But I don't remember what they were believing for now. But they were believing for something. And so, you know, the father and son are in agreement in prayer. This is going to come to pass. And so several days went by, and the son brought it up to his dad. You know, where's this at? And he said, well, son, we're just waiting for the manifestation. So that satisfied the boy, and they went their way, and several days went by. And the little boy asked his father again. He said, Dad, what about this? I mean, and he said, well, son, we're just waiting for the manifestation. This is a little guy here, you know, I'm talking about. I don't remember whether he was 3 or 5 or what he was. But anyway, several days went by, and he comes back to his dad, and he says, Dad, I want to ask you something. When is the man from the station ever going to get here? Well, you know, when you pray and you believe, he's on his way. Hallelujah. But there may be things that slow it down. There may be things that, you know, you got to stay in faith. Hallelujah. I have plenty of testimonies. We could stay here for a long time and just talk about things that they didn't come immediately, but I just stuck with it, and eventually they showed up. Glory be to God. But you got to just stay with it in faith. So when the manifestation turns, what do? You stay in faith. You stay in faith. You just, like the scripture we started with, you make the vision plain. Yep. At the end, it'll talk. But if it's not talking yet, you got to talk for it. You got to talk for it. So, amen. You know, maybe God could call a guy to pastor a church and tell him. Literally tell him. I'm going to give you a 5,000-member church. I mean, he's not just dreaming this up. God really told it to him. But, you know, the first day, there's not 5,000 people there. He may have the vision, but he's going to have to talk the vision because we can't see it. Amen. You remember the little story about the guy with the baseball bat I told you about? You know, the guys, that little boys out in the backyard, you know what I'm saying? And he said, I'm the greatest batter in all the world. And he throws the ball up, swings, strike, misses it. Says, you know what, I'm still the greatest batter in all the world. He throws it up, swings, strike, misses it. Third time he throws it up. He says, I'm the greatest batter in all the world. Throws it up again, strike 3. He goes, what do you know? I'm the greatest pitcher in all the world. How many know you just got to stay on the right side? Right? You got to stay on the right side of life. I'm not talking about pie in the sky. I'm talking about staying with the word and what it tells you. Amen. And the promises. Everybody here has wanted to beller out a bunch of unbelief. You know, pain will make you do that if you don't watch it. You got to say what the word says. Amen. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge we need healing or something like that, but we don't major on that. We major on the fact we are healed. Look at Mark chapter 4. I want to look at a couple of scriptures in Mark. What would the service be if we didn't go to the book of Mark? Mark chapter 4. Mark, the fourth chapter, look at this in verse 14.
The Bible says the sower sows the word. I mean, that's the word of God, right? These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was in their heart. So the devil knows the power of the word, whether we do or not. He knows he needs to immediately get it. Right? I mean, when you attend to something immediately, that means it's important, right? I mean, you know, if you're sitting at home, you're watching a football game, and the back porch catches on fire, you don't just say, well, I'll get to it in a little bit, hon. I mean, you know, it's an immediate thing you got to take. We got a problem here we got to take care of. When the word's preached, the devil knows, I got a problem I got to take care of. I got to snuff this out immediately, because if this grows in their life, my dominion's broken. Now look at this. He says, he taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16 and 17, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So these people are glad, they welcome the word, they accept it. But it goes on to say, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. In other words, they're only temporary. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, notice this, for what sake? For the word's sake. Immediately, they are offended or they stumble. Look at this. Look at this. I want you to see this. The devil tries to delay the fulfillment of the word. Right? And if you don't have any root in yourself, that means you don't have any staying power. Stick with it. You will become offended, or you will stumble. You will give up. How many of that's not good? We're to be like those that who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews says you have, listen to this, need of patience. How many of the Bible tells you have need of something? How many know you have need of something? Amen. You know, you go to the doctor and he says, I got this issue. And the doctor says, you have need. You need to eat some more bananas. How many know you probably ought to eat some more bananas? Actually, I know of a woman that in her 30s that passed out in the bank. She just fell over. Pew. You know, they go get the ambulance and all that and take her, and it turns out all she needed to do was eat a banana. So her potassium level was low, and she needed a banana. Hey, when food will fix things, I'm for it. How many on board with that? Hey, just eat a cheeseburger. You'll be all right. All right, hallelujah. Praise God. But that's what they told her, said, you just need to eat more bananas. Your potassium level's low. That's all that's wrong with you. So how many know what the Bible says? You have need of patience. How many know you need it, right? You know, patience or steadfastness or stick with it, right? You know, patience doesn't mean I'm just putting up with something. It means I'm in faith, right? See, I can't remember now. I used to know this kind of by heart, W. Vine's definition of patience, but it's the quality that doesn't succumb to circumstances or pressure or something like that. It's hopeful, joyful, amen. In other words, in the face of, you know, contradictory circumstances, it remains joyful, amen. It stays full of faith, right? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So how many know we need more than just faith? We need patience. See, faith alone, you know, if you don't have patience, you won't stick with it, right? And if you don't have faith, patience is just putting up with something. God doesn't want us to put up with something. But how many know the tribulation comes for why? The word's sake. You know, people say, churches, man, they say, well, you know, God put that on you to teach you something, you know, and all that. How many know, if God was a man and he did everything churches say he does, he'd be locked up in jail. Making people sick, wrecking their cars, burning their houses down. I mean, we actually listened to a preacher that, you know, the title of his message, and I hope the person, and maybe I better not say it. You know, he's talking about his title of his message, God will burn your barley fields down. Remember that? Yeah. I mean, we're like, his daughter gave us the CD, like, listen to Dad preach. I'm thinking, well, Dad had a lot of good things about him. I mean, God used him in powerful ways. But God's not out burning your barley fields down. Well, so I don't have any barley fields. Well, see, there you go. God's not going to burn yours down then, is he? But he's talking about God will burn your house down and stuff like that, you know, to teach you. God's not out doing these stuff, man. How many of you get locked up for burning people's houses down? God's not Ernest T. Bass. He's not out throwing rocks at your car. And, you know what I'm saying? Every, through your window. I got to throw this rock here through your window just because I love you. I mean, gosh, people are goofy. Churches are goofy. I mean, we got them full. Our city's full of them. Come on. They thank God. And the people leave there, they think we're nuts because we believe God will heal you and help you. But I think they're crazy for believing God's a schizophrenic. That one day he'll bless you, the next day he'll slap you. I'm not hanging around people like that, are you? God does for changes. How many of you know that? And even Proverbs says, don't associate with those who are given to change. Tells us not to. God doesn't change. He's good all the time. Amen. So he's not doing that to his kids. Now, there is an exception. Paul said in Thessalonians, if you trouble the church, it's a righteous thing with God to pay you back with trouble. That's what it says. That's the New Testament. You go bothering his people. Remember Saul, you know, yeah. Jesus stopped him and said, why are you persecuting me? Now, he had two choices, get saved or get burnt. He got saved. Amen. Yeah. And so that's a different thing altogether. But God's not doing that to people to teach them stuff. He's not breaking their legs and giving them sickness. And right? You know what I'm saying? I've heard people say that, you know, well, I broke both my legs and was in the hospital for 18 days, but I know it was God because I led the nurse to the Lord. Well, thank God something good came out of it. God didn't break your legs so you could lead that nurse to the Lord. You could have walked up there with both legs and led her to the Lord. You didn't have to break them. Now, will God help in the midst of stuff? Of course he will. He'll use every opportunity, even when we make mistakes. I mean, he'll help us out, won't he? Right? He's good like that, isn't he? And so we make mistakes, and, you know, he may teach us something out of it, but don't think he was the cause of the mistake or the problem. He just took an opportunity to teach us something. Amen. You know, how many of you have ever done something and, you know you shouldn't have done it, and then, you know, God will use it to teach you something sometimes. That's why you don't do that. Amen. I was 5 years old. I was laying over mom and dad's bed in their bedroom, and I had two copper wires, and I was playing around the outlet, you know, the plug-in thing. My mom walks in the bedroom and says, don't you dare stick those in that outlet. Well, you had to know me as a little boy. That was like, stick them in there, brother. As soon as she left the room, I stuck them in there, both at the same time. Guess what? I learned something. I never have done that again because I learned something. Now, my mom didn't grab my hands and stick them in there and say, I'm going to teach you something. This is why you don't do that. I mean, that's child abuse. So when people do learn things and things do, you know, good things do come out of bad things sometimes, but it wasn't God that caused the bad things. He just used it to help us. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like the Lord told Brother Hagin one time. He said, he had told Brother Hagin to do something in the ministry and he never had done it. And then the Lord visited him again and said something to him about it. He said, what are you going to do about what I told you? He said, well, Lord, just be honest with you, I wasn't planning on doing anything about it. He didn't want to. And he said, the Lord said to him, said, well, you'll have to or else. He said, I believe I will. I don't want any else. Amen. Else is you're doing, right? Yeah. You just do what God said. I mean, Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale because that was his doings. Yeah. It made a good story, right? We still use it today. I don't know whether Jonah's in heaven or not. He died mad. He probably is. When we get up there, I don't imagine he wants us to talk about the fish story. He's probably like, let's just forget about that. Or Rahab, you know, don't go up there and call Rahab the harlot. I'm sure she would like to forget about those days. I mean, we all got, you know, and don't go up to David and talk about Bathsheba. I'm sure he's like, let's move on. That was a long time ago. Come on. Or Peter denying the Lord. I mean, hey, I remember you denied the Lord, didn't you? I mean, that's probably not going to be a good way to start a conversation with Peter when you see him in heaven. I mean, he's going to be there. We're going to see him. Maybe you'll get a chance to talk to him. But when you talk to him like that, probably your last chance. You know what? I go, Jonah, I read your book. Boy, you were dumb. How many know God didn't do that? Jonah did that. He's the one that chose to go the other direction.
because he didn't want to preach to the Ninevites because he didn't like them. Because when God forgave him and had mercy, he said, I knew you'd do this. Didn't I say this? I didn't want to go because I know you're going to forgive them if they repent. And he wanted them destroyed. All right. One last scripture. Did you get anything tonight? Look at Mark 11. Go there. Mark chapter 11. Familiar scripture. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 22. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, I mean, if Jesus said have faith in God, we can have faith in God. Now, you know, cross-reference, like my cross-reference, I got the Cambridge Bible. It says have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have faith that operates like God's faith operates. And I've heard people say, well, God doesn't have faith. He's the object of our faith. Wait a minute. The Bible says by faith God did things. Right? Sure. Amen. God didn't just look out in the beginning in Genesis and say, wow, it's dark out here. He spoke what he wanted, didn't he? He said, let there be light. That was faith. And it came to pass, didn't it? So a lot of things people say, it really doesn't stack up with the Bible when you look at the Bible. Amen. God operated by faith. So look at this. He says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. He shall have it. Right? Therefore I say unto you, what things serve you desire when you pray, receive them, and you shall what? You shall have them. Now, it doesn't say that you'll necessarily have them immediately. Shall can imply a process, right? In other words, it could be immediately. Once again, I want to say this again. Don't set your mind frame to you're always going to have to wait, because you'll end up having faith in waiting. But you need to know what to do when you do wait. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You know, you're just waiting in faith, see? So it can imply a process. That's why we hold fast to our confession. That's why we have to, notice, listen now, we have to fight the good fight of what? Faith. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We have to let him finish our faith, right? We have to stick with it. Amen. Because it can imply a process. Jesus said it, the kingdom of God's like that. He says it's like if a man casts seed into the ground and he sleeps day and night, the seed should rise up and grow. He doesn't know how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. When the full corn's in the ear, harvest is ready. He puts in a sickle and harvests. So Jesus showed us it can be a process, the kingdom of God, sowing the word. It's like a seed planted in the ground. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn or full grain in the ear. It's ready for harvest, right? So that means that you don't just plant like a oak tree seed, acorn. You don't plant it in the ground until your kids, now get out of the way. You know, it's going to be a while, isn't it? So see, some things, they got to take some growth inside of you. Amen. Amen. So we have to understand that. Pastor Jerry Hagman, you ever heard of him? How many heard of him? He's a good preacher, isn't he? All right, he said this. He said, you got to start in faith, stay in faith, and end in faith. But notice faith's all the way through that. Start out the process in faith, stay in faith in the process, and you got to end the process in faith. If at any point in that process you let go of your faith, the process stops. So you have to have it all the way through. And I know there's temptations, you know, to let go of your faith when you're believing for something, whatever it might be, you know, a vision maybe God gave you for your life, or maybe something that God is, you know, like a healing, or maybe a financial need, or, you know what I'm saying? God doesn't mind meeting our needs in all kinds of areas, does he? Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is if he doesn't, they won't get met, because we fell under a curse when Adam sinned. And so, you know, I've had people say, well, I don't believe this is under redemption. That's not under redemption. Well, you got to be out of your mind, because if it's not under redemption, we're never getting it back. But the Bible says Jesus reconciled everything in heaven and earth by his blood. He brought it back to us. So everything that was lost, he brought it back. If you say, well, I don't believe healing's in redemption, then we're sick for eternity. Because if he didn't get it back for us, we don't have it. Does that make sense to you? It's absolute gospel truth now. If Jesus didn't pay the price to get it back, forget it. We don't have it. We'll never have it. We'll never have it. And furthermore, if Jesus didn't pay the price for it, nobody would ever have gotten healed in Jesus' ministry. Y'all following this? See? But it had to be paid for. See, Jesus was operating on a promissory note that by, you know, the Bible says in Matthew when he was healing people, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Well, he hadn't even done that yet. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. But see, it's operating on a promissory note. In other words, I'm going to pay that. We all know what that is, right? You might drive a vehicle that you haven't paid for yet. I bought a vehicle years ago. I mean, that's where Phyllis and I are married, you know. I told the bank I want to buy a vehicle. And the banker said, well, just go buy the vehicle, write a check for it, and I'll put the money in your account when the check comes, and then you can come and do the papers. I mean, you know, I'm driving around a vehicle. I don't even have a loan on it yet. I just wrote a bad check. And this banker backs it. So what am I saying? See, that's a promissory note, see. I'm promising I'm going to pay for that. Well, Jesus, how many know, when God makes a promise, you can count on it. Amen. So when the manifestation tarries, listen now, when the manifestation tarries, what do we got to do? Well, we got to continue to live by faith. We got to continue to live by faith and realize that what we see in the physical realm isn't always representing what's going on in the spiritual realm. Amen. And realize that when those attacks come that try to get us discouraged, the devil's coming for the word's sake. If he gets the word out of us, he stops the manifestation. Amen. And so we have to stay with it. Praise God. Amen. Did you get anything? And you got to do like the Bible said. We quoted the scripture a while ago. But the Bible says, for our 2 Corinthians 4, 17-18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We got to make sure we're looking at the right thing. We're not just looking at the natural. We're looking at what God's word says about the situation. See, these things we go through. For our light, everybody say light affliction. You know, sometimes it feels like we're going through heavy trials, but in comparison to the glory which shall be revealed in us, this is a light affliction. I mean, 1,000 years from now, you look at that, man, that was just a simple thing. It seems big now, right? But when you look at it in light of eternity and God's word, it's not all that big. Matter of fact, it's the Message Bible. I like the way it says it. It's not really accurate translation, but I think it's funny. It says, these small potatoes. So next time you're going through a trial, just say, man, I've got some small potatoes going on. Small potatoes. You know, what I'm saying? You know what a heavy trial is? That's the one you're going through. Everybody else is just a light affliction. I don't know why you're so concerned about it. It's just a light thing. And it hits you. It's like, ah! How many know? In comparison to what God's given us, it's all light. Amen. That's why it's so sad that people take their lives over temporary things. You know what I'm saying? The teenagers take their lives because their girlfriend or their boyfriend broke up with them. And if they just waited a little bit, they'd find out they probably didn't want them anyway. Come on, how many admit, from your teenage days, people broke up with you, you look back and think, thank God they did. Right? Some of you aren't thanking God. You think you got the wrong dude or something? Or what? What's the problem here? Come on, you ought to be. I'm glad I didn't marry some of those heifers that I knew. I married this beautiful angel. I could have had a heifer. But I got an angel. Thank God it fell through. Hallelujah. Stand up. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout if nothing else did tonight. Praise God. I mean, look what Mark got. It took an angel to stay with Mark all these years. You better kiss your angel good morning, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, did you get something tonight? Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord. It's not you that's withholding us on us. And, you know, sometimes the manifestation does tarry. Things don't always happen overnight. But yet, your word's true. And if we'll just stay with it and
Hang on to our faith. Hang on to our vision. We'll see the manifestation come. Help us, Lord, to not cast away our confidence, but to stick with it. We have need of patience that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. You agree with that?
Yes.
Hey, we're blessed to have Jeremy in the house. Pastor Jeremy now in the house with us tonight, all the way from Florida. We were privileged to be at his church Sunday morning. He did a great job preaching the Word of God. And thank God for him and for what he's doing. Amen. In Florida. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you as we go. We're the head, not the tail. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out. Thank you that we have divine protection. We receive Psalm 91 over our lives. And we'll be back Sunday morning, Lord, to worship you again and to receive from you and to bless you and honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, have a good week.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.